and it's free. MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And I know you heard from the coordinators, talked a little bit after the game on Saturday as well. You know, just really feel like, you know, there's things we can continue to get better at, but very proud of the way we, you know, continue to find a way to win and you know, getting the resolve and the way the guys come back to work each and every day, but also in the game. Each series is its own, each play is its own, and now we come to Oklahoma where each game is its own game. And so probably one thing, since you do talk to the offense defense coordinators, you know, one thing to highlight, just I think our special teams did a nice job. I know we missed the field goal, but you know, pinning LSU deep three times inside the 20 and the play down on the one, those are plays you work on, and you just get a couple times every year to really make it happen. And our guys did that, and so I'm really proud of that, along with the kickoff coverage and just the coverage in general, you know, on kickoff punt. Our guys knew they had a challenge ahead of them this last weekend. If you really looked at what their stats were with those returners, it's pretty impressive, not just maybe this year, but over the course of their careers. And hats off to our guys. They really take a lot of ownership, not just in what they do on the field offensively, defensively, and individually, but our guys, you know, making an impact on special teams. I'm proud of them. So, you know, penalties, love the direction that continues to go. Just two for 25 yards and winning the takeover, winning the turnover margin, doing that each and every week. That's just really an identity of who we are. And we're going to have to really do that again this week because we're facing a team that I think abides by a lot of the same things that we emphasize when it comes to physicality, when it comes to, you know, winning the turnover margin, winning in the red zone, you know, each side of the ball for Oklahoma. The same thing applies to, you know, what we take a lot of pride in. So they have, you know, good skill with their special teams. And, you know, you can see the field goals and their punting game. They excel there. So going to take all three phases to have a win come out this weekend, but ready for the week of practice. I know the guys are excited.
Thanks, Coach. Let's start with Katie, second row on the left.
This is a little off topic, but there's a lot of former Bama guys, NFL guys, Saban guys there at the game on Saturday. Just what's your approach having former players around, even the ones that didn't play for you, and just kind of how does that benefit the guys currently in the program?
Yeah, I love it. This is their program. You know, it's ours all together, but they're the ones that built this and made it what it is, and love that they want to come back and are proud of what they accomplished and hopefully proud of what we're doing right now with so much recruiting and so forth. This week was probably one of those weeks where I didn't get to see as many as I normally do. And whether it's pregame or during the day or even the weekend, saw a few of them. Booker in particular, which is a guy from last year's team, he was around. And, you know, just that excites me because that's what we want. You want the alumni to always feel like this is home and a place that they can come back to and be welcome and, you know, want to, you know, especially in the off season, it's a lot easier to do, but just really integrate everyone together. Our players, you know, hearing the stories, understanding the history, you know, learning as well on how they can continue to be better. Because a lot of these guys that are coming back have been in the NFL and understand what that next step looks like. And that's what our guys' goals and dreams are.
Shout out to Nick on the front right.
Yeah, right now the offense has the fewest turnovers per game in the SEC, and the defense has the most takeaways per game in the SEC. Have you ever had a team like that, and what's been the key to having those two at the same time?
Yeah, it's emphasis. We talk about what our identity is, and what you just heard from me, and the things that I think are important are what our team heard Sunday. You know, when we got in the team room and reviewed what went well, where we got to improve. But we talk about that. It doesn't happen by accident. You know, we're working on ball security drills. We're working on, you know, stripping the ball, knocking it out. Nakai's punch on the ball was phenomenal. We made sure we highlighted that, not just what he's doing as a player, but that specific play. And emphasize even the one that we didn't get earlier, I believe it was the first drive of the game. And so, you know, you keep doing those things. You play the percentages. I brought up the Missouri game where a couple didn't fall our way, but in the end, we got some interceptions to finish out in the fourth quarter. And we're just talking about those plays. And it goes back to, you know, defensively, make the offense snap it again. The Tennessee game and the interception for a touchdown. The play at the end of the game against South Carolina. Our guys believe and they know if they give the effort and practice and work on those skills, protecting the ball as an offensive player, going after it defensively and have that mindset and attacking, you know, the habits or the habits that we have will lead to plays being made and you create your own breaks.
Go to Chase, far left.
I know the coaching mentality tends to be this is this year and last year was last year, but is along with that, is there any reminder for the players that, hey, this is the team that kind of wrecked things last year goal-wise, or do you leave that to the veterans and the captains to remind players of that?
You know, we have a lot of new players on the team, so there are players that didn't experience that. The ones that did certainly better remember and understand that. More importantly, that you're facing a really good program that, you know, obviously we went to their place and got beat up pretty good last year. And that's who's coming to town this week. And so, you know, Coach Venables done an amazing job instilling a culture there. And, you know, we know we got a team that is coming here hungry. They're in the hunt for a lot of different things as far as reaching their goals. But, you know, for us, we do then try to make sure that we always are focused on really this team being, you know, what we're centered on and us improving. And that's the focus is, again, how did we get to this point this year to where we've had the success? What's it going to take to be our best on Saturday? And so, again, you try to hone in on that, but you can't help but remember, you know, the past. And those questions that you asked just now were also asked, you know, a few weeks ago when we played Vanderbilt and so forth. And so, you know, our guys, you know, should remember that because our experiences help us be better the next time around.
Well, back to Alex, I believe you had a question.
Two unrelated questions. One, what can you tell us about Cam Dewberry, his injury and his status this week? And then the relationship with Dave Roberts, can you kind of tell us where that started and how mm-hmm. that formed?
Yeah, I expect Cam to be ready to go. I get dinged up a little bit in the game, but he's looking good. It might be early in the week, held up some, but should be fine as the week goes on as far as what I see right now and here as well. So with Dave Roberts, just a couple years ago, got a chance to go watch a Dodgers game with Alexis, my daughter. You know, she's softball, and so baseball, that piece right there, it was just fun to go there and watch a game and got to spend some time with him, you know, in the clubhouse afterwards. And I was just blown away at, first of all, how much time he gave me in the middle of his season. I know how hard that is as a coach myself. And then we've just stayed in touch. And this summer, I went up and saw him play up in Milwaukee. And, again, we just stay in touch. I can't help but notice how great of a job he does of bringing – these guys together that he manages, you know, they're all such great players, but, you know, he finds a way to have a role for each of them, having just such a low ego and enjoying the process of what they're doing and finding ways to win and the resiliency it took, obviously, you know, the last 2 years in both World Series. It's just amazing. And I think there's a lot of similarities, you know, in our styles, maybe. There's probably differences too. It's a different sport, but I got a lot of admiration for how he manages and how he gives his time. And, you know, the presence he has when he walks into a room, it just really blows me away, you know. And it, again, him coming here this last weekend, something that was kind of on the docket, you know, going back quite some time, you know, I think probably a month or two ago. And so, I was really looking forward to it, and they had a great time watching the game, but we also had a great time, you know, taking a few nuggets to learn from to help us be better as coaches and be better as players.
Let's go right across the aisle to Joe.
Coach, a couple weeks ago, Lane Kiffin insinuated that Oklahoma Preventables were very good at stealing signs or gathering information. Just what's your perspective on that as you go into this week against Oklahoma, into the offensive play calling process as it pertains to game day?
Yeah, you got to adjust. I mean, I think across the board, across the country, there's some element of every team doing something, you know, and so for us, I think our staff does a pretty good job, but you certainly got to make sure you're always, you know, doing your best to change things up. And, you know, we got huddle, no huddle, and there's a lot of different things we do too. So I don't, you know, we just got to continue to do what we've done, you know, not just this year, but years past as well.
Front row, Colin, right on the left.
Hey, Kalen, there's kind of this coaching cliche that, you know, the horizontal passing game can be an extension of the run game. I'm curious, do you buy into that? Is that something that could kind of lead to more, you know, shots downfield if the run game isn't working?
Yeah, I mean, totally. I think that's a lot of what our offense has done over the years. But you still want to be better in the run game than what we are, and we have been. So I don't think it's a systematic thing that we have with our structure. But you want to make a defense have to defend everything from sideline to sideline and have them be concerned about what you're going to do vertically. And so we can talk forever because I love that part of it. The style and the schematics of it. But, you know, you saw in the game the other day, I mean, we had tight ends catching it on perimeter screens off of some runs. Isaiah Horton had some just different things to stretch the defense this way, to open up seams, to be able to run the football. And then, you know, the run game opens up the play action, which is now more of the vertical piece. And even your screens and goes and things like that. That's a part of, I think, what most good offenses do.
Back left, Theo.
Coach, you look at some of the struggles Connor Talty has had. And, you know, you obviously went two games before this one, the past two, without attempting a field goal. How has it affected your team's decision-making on fourth down as far as, you know, maybe going for it in situations, punting it on some of the further, and how do you think that'll play out over the course of the season with regards to having him kick? Or?
I actually don't think it's affected me much at all. He kicked a 240-plus yard field goals in the game. One got us the early lead, 3-0, and then, you know, the one at the end makes it a two-score game. And that's, I think it was 44 maybe, somewhere in there. You know, the one that they missed, I think the great kickers can overcompensate for maybe the execution of the rest of the snap and the hold not being perfect. And that's going to continue to be the growth. And him, I think the thing that I really like is when he's had maybe one that didn't go well, he's able to respond and come back and make the next one. And there's been some big ones that he's made that have stretched games, and it's been maybe in the last minute, but it's been late. And so, you know, I just think it's part of the growth. You know, this is really his first year out there, and him being able to respond and just take whatever happened, move it off to the side, and go make the next one because that's what's in front of him. You know, that's what you got to do. And, you know, I think we punted probably about as close as we've been all year. You know, late in the game there, and that's the one that we pinned him deep. But we were just so far out, and it was, I think, a third or fourth and extra pretty long. And so, to me, that really wasn't one that was as hard of a decision. But I really can't say that it's affected, you know, my choices to go. I think we're going to be aggressive. You guys have heard that from me. We're going to play to win at the right times. But, you know, we get down in there. I trust our defense, too. If we don't convert, like we did, you know, early in the game, I trust that our defense will have a great mindset to go out there and go play ball. And it doesn't affect them. You know, you can't put them in bad spots over and over again. But, you know, they're gonna bow up and do their job. And we've talked about that a lot in team meetings.
Let's finish up with Emily Grace right in the middle.
Coach, you mentioned the process. Coach Grubb mentioned the process. This time of the year, when the noise continues to ramp up, how important is it for your team and even your staff to stay focused on that process, fall in love with the process, not necessarily the dividends of that?
Yeah, I think this year, every year's got noise, right? But I think this year, it's been so much different types of noise that we've had to deal with that, again, we've become, I think, a pretty good team when it comes to pushing that out and understanding that what's in front of us is all about us and, you know, how we think, how we respond, the work we put in. And so, you know, tomorrow morning, well, I already told the guys on Sunday, we got a hard reset. We go back to work and we understand our strengths. We understand our weaknesses, who we are as a team, and we just continue to get better. And so you're exactly right. I mean, that process and that weekly process, we need to keep refining individually and as a team what we're doing, evaluating now as we get in the season. You know, what's our practice plan look like? You know, just the little tweaks, and you learn from the years and years and years of coaching, you know, what that should look like, what worked, what didn't work. And then the players, you know, what's the note-taking process look like? What's the rehab process, recovery, and all of that. And so there's so many pieces to it. And then the mental part that you're talking about, where what everyone says doesn't matter. You know, there's still so much football to be played. We have big games, and, you know, none's bigger than the one right in front of us. So I think we'll be pretty locked in.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
There you have it. That was head coach Kalen DeBoer speaking to the media yesterday doing his weekly press conference. Wanted to get that out the way. You guys can see if you're watching me on the stream, and I'm bundled up. I got a jacket and some HVAC issues over the last day or so. Finally got that fixed. So went ahead and rolled with that press conference. That way we can get out the way. It is a talking Tuesday, but we got plenty to talk about. So I wanted to get that rolling. And then we also still have the coordinators if we have time to do that. Plus, we got to talk with you guys. And judging by the thumbnail, you can see, we're going to turn our attention to Oklahoma and that matchup that we have this weekend here, 2:30 Central Time in Tuscaloosa. All that coming up when we come back after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, Top 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support.
Right there, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus, R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up this afternoon. The sky's sunny, the high 51. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, the low 33. Tomorrow and Thursday, the sky sunny both days. The warming trend continues. The high tomorrow is 65. The high Thursday, 71. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Man, I'm just going to say this. I've been really counting my blessings lately. Like, I definitely have. Like, all the little things, I truly have. And just yet another reminder, man, that, like, my heat going out. And this is like, man, if anybody's listening out there, just remember the little things that we often overlook. I know that's kind of a big one. You're talking about heat going out, but it's just like, man, like, I'm so blessed just that you forget just how important having a regular heater, you know what I mean? Like a heat system in your home. And then you're like, man, I'm so grateful. I got jackets and blankets and stuff. So I'm like, golly, man, there's people that don't, bro. There's people that are outside that have to sleep in that, man. Like, golly. So count your blessing, folks. That's all I'm saying. Count your blessings. Welcome back in. It's a Talking Tuesday. Some updates for you guys. We listened to Kalen DeBoer, the first segment. He did his press conference yesterday. We'll dive into that a little bit. We definitely want to talk some Oklahoma, Alabama. Early preview, you guys know how it is. We're going to stretch it out. We're not going to do too much of a deep dive, but just some initial thoughts and comments on that matchup. We'll do that here in a minute because I just reached out to Slade, and Slade Bolden is going to be jumping on here in about 2 or 3 minutes or so, probably around 11:30. So we'll talk to him. We'll revisit the LSU game a little bit. He was in town. I just want to get his thoughts on it. You know, he's been doing his breakdown, so we'll do that. Plus, well, I don't know. Hopefully we can put a bow on this whole podcast thing and just drop an episode this week or something. But that being said, we'll have him on here in a few minutes. Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson typically joins us on Tuesdays now, as you guys know and enjoy. But he had to reschedule. He's had something come up. So we're going to probably try to push it to sometime this week. If not, we'll definitely get back on schedule next week. No worries there. But just wanted to let you guys know that. But normally Tuesdays, top of the hour, we get Clint on here. We're going to reschedule, but we got Slade coming on in a few minutes, so we'll do that. And then, we'll keep on rolling from there. Other thing I wanted to hit too, you know, the playoff rankings this evening. that will be unveiled the second week in doing so. So if you guys want to preview that a little bit, we definitely can do that. Definitely going to be some changes. I don't expect there to be too many with the top slots. I mean, you got Ohio State that won, Texas A&M beat Missouri, Indiana, they survived, Penn State. Man, talk about Mendoza with that game-winning drive. A lot of people said, oh, man, he might have really just moved into that first-place spot for the Heisman because of that drive. So they won, obviously. Alabama won, we know that. Got a big win over LSU at home. And, yeah, and nothing changed with Georgia either. So I don't really expect any movement there, Chase. Could you maybe see Texas A&M jumping Indiana, right? Both teams remain undefeated. I would argue now, Missouri, the team that they beat, you know, backup quarterback, Bo Pribula's hurt. He's out. Had that leg injury a couple weeks ago against Vanderbilt. But Texas A&M went on the road. It was a good win. Missouri is no longer ranked. But maybe could we see Texas A&M jump into that number two slot? Or do you think everything remains the same 1-5, Chase?
I think Texas A&M could move in the two spot. It was a huge win, like you said, for Indiana to beat Penn State. I thought Indiana was going to have an upset. There was just no way, but they did it. Cignetti proves me once again. But, you know, I think with A&M, and really they've been consistent each and every week, Christian. I haven't really seen any flaws. You know, they're facing top defenses, and it's just they're counteracting them with wins. You know, so I think they have a strong enough case. You know, they've beaten, let me see, one, two, they've beaten three top 25 teams on the road. Notre Dame, that was in, I think it was in September. Then you have LSU, that was about a week or two ago, and then Missouri recently, even though they have a backup quarterback, that's still a ranked win. You know, they've been taking care of their business at home, you know, against Florida, Auburn, Mississippi State, and so forth. But I think A&M has a strong case, especially they're in a driving seat right now to be in the SEC championship. I feel like they're really the favorites right now because how well they've been playing. Nobody has stopped them. Nobody. I'm looking at these scores, Christian. They're like, ever since the 27th of, I believe, September, when they played Auburn, they've averaged more than 30 points. That's insane. So I think A&M definitely has it in them to move to the second spot.
Yeah, and if you look at strength of schedule, right, like you mentioned, those quality wins, I would give that to A&M. So it wouldn't shock me if they move up. And if anything, I think the committee needs to respect that, like, that precedent, right? They talk about wins being important and the quality of those wins. Well, I think you got to give that nod to Texas A&M. So we'll see. I mean, it really doesn't make a huge difference right now. Again, there's plenty of ball left. And if we learned anything, there's going to be some changes. I've got this pulled up here on the stream for you guys to see. This is the current AP Top 25. Again, we're talking about the playoff rankings, which really matter the most, right, when it comes to, you know, the whole nitty-gritty that will be unveiled tonight. BYU was undefeated. They dropped four spots in the AP, right, after losing to Texas Tech, who advanced to be 9-1. You know, they got the win over BYU, and they moved up a slot, but they're in that number eight spot. So, really, you don't see too much movement in those spots that we just mentioned. I just was curious the thoughts about Texas A&M, because I agree with you, Chase. They look to be a really good football team, man. I like their quarterback a lot. I like what they're doing defensively. They've done some great stuff getting after the quarterback. Just overall, they look a very sound football team, right, on both sides of the football in all phases. So I wouldn't be shocked if they move up. And that's going to be, in my opinion, I mean, they've got Texas remaining on their schedule. Let me see the other games that they have. I know Texas was the big one. They've got South Carolina, Samford, and Texas, right? I feel pretty strongly about the matchup with South Carolina. I mean, I'm sure South Carolina might be a little scrappy here and there, but yeah, I'll take Texas A&M there. But Texas is going to be the interesting one. And if they finish that one, which, you know, it's going to be close, I'd almost argue, Chase, even if they lose that. So if they lose to Texas, I'd have to get somebody else on here to really break this down. I'm not great when it comes to this, but that would be their first loss overall and first loss in conference. So that'd be interesting how it plays out, though. The problem is, even though Texas would have the edge over them, they still would have losses to, what, Florida and who is their other loss? Oh, it was Ohio State. So Texas is a one-loss SEC team. Man, yeah, I'm not even going to try to do the math, the numbers on that. That would be interesting to see how that plays out. But they take care of business. They're definitely seeing themselves in the SEC championship game. And I would imagine if we went out, that's obviously who we'd face, which I think that'd be a damn good game. That being said, other movement tonight, I don't know anything really drastic other than BYU dropping some. That's probably going to bump. I think Texas was like the first team out on the last one, so maybe that bumps them in. Other than that, I think everything will remain the same. So maybe the big change or the only change you see tonight is a Texas team being bumped in there and BYU being bumped out. Again, this don't really matter too much because the last one is the most important one. We all know that, but just wanted to kind of cover that real quick. All right, let's do this. Let's hit a quick timeout. We got Slade hopping on here. When we come back, we'll get his thoughts on this Alabama LSU game. He was in attendance, hanging out. Looked like he was trying some bourbon or something pregame, man. I got to ask him about that, what he had going on there. But and he was talking with the ops. I saw videos of him talking with the ops pregame, man. Slade, we got to ask Slade a couple questions. We'll do that when we come back on this quick timeout. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store.
Language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, we're now joined live by former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden. I was joking around, guys. He wasn't talking with the ops. It was all a joke. He was chatting it up with former Alabama wide receiver Aaron Anderson, a really good player, by the way, who is also from LSU. Slade was telling us during the break for our radio listeners, he was in charge of helping recruit and Aaron, and obviously they established a relationship there. It wouldn't even matter if he was going over there. It was all fun and games. But Slade, yeah. I was going to ask you, you mentioned having some troubles navigating the stadium. You're 100% right. I don't even know. I really don't think people understand, like, when we're players, we're not exposed to so much. Like, it wasn't until after I got done, I didn't really know hardly all the activities that go on in the quad. I never knew about these different zones and areas of this. Literally to this day, somehow I was like, yeah, you know where Coach Saban's office is in the stadium? I was like, like when he first got, I was like, no. They're right. Like, oh, on this side, next. I'm like, bro, I've only been in the locker room, yep, on the field, and in that one zone area where they hold the events, like the front entrance area. Mm. I was like, I was doing some stuff with broadcasting, some like one other area. Other than that, I've never seen these boxes and these other things. You might have, like, with Keaton, I think they have some boxes and stuff. But you get what I'm saying? Like, there's so many other areas that I'm like, as players, we don't even see half this stuff. We have no idea of half of these things going on.
Oh, it's a maze. I'm telling you, it is a maze. And you have to basically go into your gate from the outside. And I was on the field pregame, and, you know, I asked a couple people – because I knew it. I've experienced before. I've gone to the zone one time, and you know, I was with people that had been there a couple times, so they knew how to navigate through that. And I was told one thing. I was told to leave the stadium and then come back in to the gate I was supposed to go into, because I couldn't tell you where that gate was to begin with. And then before I was about to leave, I was like, let me make sure. And the lady was like, hey, you can't leave. You can't get back in. So that kind of just messed up the whole. I mean, it was, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to start stalling any of the workers. I hope I didn't. I was getting pretty frustrated there towards the end, and I wasn't trying to be disrespectful at all. I'm just you're like the 10th person I've talked to, and I still can't really get an answer.
They're just sending you in a whole loop.
Oh, it was crazy. But next time, obviously, I'll know. But like you said, I've been fortunate. A lot of the games I went to last year, I was basically just on the sidelines all the time, which I know how to get, you know, to that entrance, which is where we would basically come out after the game. It's the same one. And the stadium does look a little different. Like I feel like they've changed some of the entrances and how you kind of navigate through it. But man, I'm going to make sure if I get in that situation again to leave before it's too late, so I can go back into the true gate. But it was, you know, we had an awesome time, and it's so funny. You know, when I got to my seats, yeah, I watched the game, but there's some times like I'm talking to people, I'm going to get some food, I'm getting a drink, whatever it was. Like, I don't remember a whole lot of the plays, and maybe a lot had to do with that Evan Williams bourbon event that I had to go to as well, because we were having a good time, and I was, trying some whiskey with some different fans and friends. So it was awesome. But, you know, unbelievable experience. I've watched obviously some of the replay stuff on the game, and you know, it's always good to go back. And you know, I got to go to the facility, see some people that I hadn't seen in a while. It's my first game back this year. Just been super busy with, you know, the real world and work, so it's been kind of tough during this time of the year. This is our busiest season in insurance, which is all, you know, really fun with renewals and open enrollment. But I thought about going Oklahoma game. I just, I'm in Nashville right now. I had a couple meetings out here. So it's, yeah, I'm like, all right, I need to relax on the traveling. I was in Italy this year with my girlfriend. So yeah, I need to slow down. But it was awesome. Obviously, I know we got the win, but you know, I'm sure you know there's still some issues here.
Yeah, no, and then I definitely wanted to ask you about a couple of those for sure. And then at the end, I got a question that is about a conversation that came up yesterday, and I think you'd have some insight on it. But about some of those issues you mentioned, right? Because looking back at this game, I know you said bits and pieces of it, you remember some might not be the clears.
Right.
But overall, this is how I would view that game. Defense continues to play better. We've been talking about defense making those strides, and they continue to do so. Held them out of the end zone. I mean, 9 points, 3 field goals. Pass rush came up big, even though there weren't really as many opportunities as they probably would have hoped, right? Because it's, I mean, literally screen game after screen game, quick pass. Mm-hmm. They were trying to protect that offensive line. We know all that part. So defense, we get it. They play good, and I hit on that. But I want to ask you about this. Offensively, Ty Simpson, you know, had his numbers right here. It wasn't a bad game by any means. Ty was 21 and 35, 277 yards, 1 touchdown, had the, you know, no turnovers other than the strip sack, but didn't throw a pick. But, you know, he set the standard so high. I mean, one might say, it wasn't a great game, but realistically, he had some NFL-type throws. And again, the pre-snap stuff he does is, you know, second to none, all that. But to me, those concerns that you probably referenced him is the inability to run the football, which I think is a big deal, and I want to get your thoughts on that. And then, two, it just seems like offensively something's just not – like we're not having that same success that we saw earlier. We're not having those long, sustainable drives. We're seeing more 3-and-outs. And part of that to me is, you know, when you're not having success running the ball, you're setting yourself up for 3rd-and-longs. And then when we are in those short yardage situations, we don't trust our run game enough that we're resorting to tricks and gimmicks just for 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1 and, you know, situations – what are your thoughts on what we're seeing from the offense, and how concerning is it that we're not having the ability to run the football at this point in the season?
Yeah, you know, just from the beginning, we're always going to get everybody's best game. And LSU has a great defense. I think that's the one thing that they've shown throughout the year that has been pretty consistent. Yeah, I've been saying from a long time, or you know, since they've kind of lost 3 games now, and this was their 4th loss, right? We gave them the 4th loss. I was so surprised the way LSU has played all year, because on paper, I thought they were super talented, and I thought their offense was super talented. I'm not saying they aren't, but something isn't clicking on their side. And not that I'm, you know, going to sit there and analyze their offense, but I knew their defense was good. They've been playing pretty consistently well all year. And they're coming into Tuscaloosa, And that was kind of the one thing. It was either going to be a blowout or a tough game. It kind of was like in between, because it almost was looking like a trap game, essentially. If we'd have went there, it's 100% a trap game in my mind, just because, you know, the head coach gets fired. They don't have anything to lose. They're not making the playoffs. That's a dangerous team. They're, you know, kind of in desperate mode a little bit. And obviously they can knock off Bama. That makes their season. You know, same thing when we always go play Auburn at Auburn, and they're 6-5 or 7-4, whatever it is, and they're not even ranked, and they come out and play like gladiators. You know, I was kind of worried about that going into the game, that maybe they were going to just come out and play us really tough, and we just going to have to weather that storm, especially the first quarter, first half, and, you know, hopefully make some good adjustments and come back and just seal the game. But I think we had so many missed opportunities on offense. You know, just one situation where we had the strip fumble, you know, it resulted in a field goal. And, you know, you got to take advantage of those turnovers and, you know, sustain the drives that we weren't able to really truly do. Like you said, we're kind of going the gimmicks and fake pass reverses and, you know, handing the ball to the receiver on a run game. And but I think when you get a turnover and it's on your end zone side, like, you need to that's how you start putting teams away early. And when you're not able to do that, and you're not able to take advantage of those opportunities, you keep people in the game. You keep the other team hopeful and, you know, momentum. And yeah, I know we had one turnover on our side, but we controlled the ball well, and but we just couldn't, like you said, sustain the drives, convert third downs. And, you know, there were some situations where we had third and shorts and we couldn't convert. And, you know, that probably has a lot to do with the lack of faith in our run game. And because, you know, obviously I don't know exactly what the calls, you know, what their blocking schemes may be, but that was one issue that I feel we've had over a lot of these games. You know, the games we played, I know there's some moving parts. Guys were hurt. We're trying guys a different position. But at the end of the day, you just got to play as one unit. And I've said this before. It probably sounds like a broken record. But I don't think it has anything to do with our talent at running back. You know, because we saw a difference when Jam came back. We did. We saw a little more explosiveness. But I feel like our other guys, RJ being one of them, four, has played well. But there just seems to be a lack of physicality, a lack of just like toughness. And, you know, maybe they're just super raw, you know, maybe they're just super raw. I know Caden Proctor is probably the most experienced, established guy on that O-line, but, and I know with transfer portal and all these things, we have, you know, another guy, number 71, that came in from a different school, but, and maybe some others. And I know, so one thing I was want to ask you is, our center that came originally from Washington, is he still healthy and playing?
That's him. Parker Brailsford. Okay. He does a really good job. If anything, I think he's probably our best offensive line, at least most consistent up front. I think he's a really good center, a little undersized, but for what they need him to do, I mean, the movement and whatnot, it works well. And he's kind of like, even though he's smaller, he can hold his own for sure. You know, he gets underneath guys and does a nice job. But Dewberry, 71, like you mentioned, he's a big physical guy, but I think he struggles with his footwork. And that's one thing I'm almost wondering, like, if you watch how they ran the ball at Washington, you know, requires, you know, guys to move, pin and pull stuff. I mean, you got to be able to, you know, move in space, move your feet. I think we've got big guys and maybe they're not the best at that movement, but still it's like, all right, then maybe gap scheme, duo, you know, stuff like that should, you know, fit these guys better. But we're not even doing that great in this. Yeah. I mean, that's just interesting. We're not able to get that push at times, or sometimes we do, but not everybody. Like, I saw, like, that 4th-and-1, everybody was on a different level. Like, Caden Potter's blocking this guy down the field. Dewberry's kind of stalemate at the line of scrimmage. The center's down the field. Like, it's almost like a zigzag. And I'm like, as a unit, man, you got to work as one, like you mentioned. But I like what you mentioned, too, though. You said about putting teams away. And I think that's a good point, because there's a lot of people that go, And I get both sides. They say, oh, well, people are complaining that we're not blowing teams out. And I'm like, well, somebody's complaining that we're not blowing teams out. That's one thing. But if you're analyzing like you're analyzing it, and it's, you're saying like, it's not that, oh, we're not blowing teams out. It's the fashion in which we have opportunities, but we're missing these opportunities, and it's creating games to be much closer than they need to be. And we've been able to finish the right way, which is really important. But you just have to imagine at some point you might face a team that is an equal opponent, and they're going to capitalize on you missing those opportunities, and it could come back to bite you. Because once you get in the postseason, there's no like, oh, man, we just, it's one more loss. We're still – nah, it's you lose and go home, you know? So that's a good point that you made.
Yeah, you hit it on the head, Simeon. I mean, that's a perfect description. It's, you know, we get down the road and then we get to playoffs. We're gonna face better teams than LSU. Not saying that they're not a bad team and they're probably playing better than they are or have been against us, considering the circumstance. But yeah, you keep a good team hanging around. That's one thing that I thought we did so well against Georgia. We took advantage of those opportunities, and I believe we may have left one or two off on the field that we could have took advantage of. But you play a really good team, and you instead of scoring a touchdown and you having to kick a field goal because you didn't take advantage of a fumble in your own end zone, yeah, that lets the other team know that, hey, there's still a chance, and the obviously the opposing defense is like, oh, we got their number. Like we can keep them. We just need the offense to, go down the field and score for us. You keep doing that and you play a really good team down the road, that one may not even give you those opportunities to take advantage of, to, put them away earlier. But yeah, you keep somebody in a game like that, and they're really good, and they even take advantage of the mistakes that we make. It can become ugly in a way. It can also, or it just, it's going to come down to the wire every game. And luckily, I feel like we've been in situations and we've played teams like South Carolina, Missouri, and a tough environment. It's SEC ball. It is what it is. It's going to be hard, and we've had to kind of go through those tough trials, or trying to come into someone's own turf and weather the storm and deal with the environment, deal with the fan, the crowd and the noise. And so we've been in situations where I do think we can handle it at the end of the day, but why even get to that point? I know obviously when it comes to the run game, I don't know what Grubb's offensive blocking schemes are. He's definitely an unbelievable pass caller, and he has guys that probably make it easy for him to call those plays, but Ty not having the game that we've been seeing all year, he needs some help. You got to be able to establish that running game. That's just opening up the pass game even more. It all plays a part. It all does. And I think that's something that maybe it goes above just the offensive line as players. Maybe it is the blocking coordinator, whether that's the running backs coach or Grubb, whoever has that final say on, okay, how can we, are we better outside zone, inside zone? Are we better at trap? Are we better at, pull, what we're counter plays? How can we help our guys and the type of ability that they have, produce better and create better leverage and get to the second level better? So I think it's a tale of two. It's the offensive line unit. As much as I think Ty Simpson's an unbelievable leader, you got to have a leader on the O-line too. And it may be Caden, it may be Parker at center, but I'm still not seeing the mentality that I'd like, because you can make a bad scheme turn good when you're throwing guys out of the club, and whoever's in your way, they're getting moved. So that is a possibility. I think it comes down to all levels with the coaching and the players. So I think everybody has to just take responsibility and accountability of it, and study what went wrong, what can they do better, and possibly from a coaching standpoint, put those guys in a better situation to produce a more efficient run game.
No, 100%. So we got like, wait, how much time you got? Because I know you got a meeting coming up.
I mean, I got, let's say, 10, 15 minutes.
All right. So I'm going to save this for when we come back real quick. I won't hold you long, but I had to ask
you. Good.
I have to ask you one more question when we come back, because I'm really curious, because the conversation came up, because your last year was 22, right?
21.
20. Oh, damn. So, you wouldn't be able to answer this then. Damn, well, I was thinking you still were there in 22 for some reason. Man, damn. I was going to ask, and I'll tell you during the break. I still will ask you, though, because I'm curious your thoughts on it. But it's pertaining the whole when Bo went back and asked by the mouthpiece. I know our listeners are like, oh, no, not this. But I was going to ask because if you were on the team, I was just going to be if I was a fly on the wall, I wonder how that went when they made that decision to wear them after Bo went up there. But don't worry about it. I'll get you back for one more segment after this timeout, just to put a bow on everything and then let you get what you got to do.
I know what you're talking about, man. I might need more details.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's hit this top of the hour break real quick. We come back. We'll get one more segment real quick in with Slate where he's got to get rolling. If you guys have any questions, too, maybe we'll let you ask him one or two before he goes. So you listen to the Miller's Edge.
Generators. True South Generators. Online at TrueSouthGenerators.com. That's TrueSouthGenerators.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
Infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Philadelphia Eagles are now 7-2 after winning by a 10-7 final score at Green Bay Monday night. The Packers punted on their first four drives, then fumbled late first half. That from the quarterback Jordan Love. Packers were only down 3-0 early in the fourth quarter. The New York Giants fired coach Brian Daboll. The Giants' record over the past 2.5 years is 11-33. Washington head coach Dan Quinn is taking over defensive coordinator duties also. Commanders defensive lineman DeRon Payne was suspended one game for throwing a punch at an opponent. The American League Rookie of the Year is Nick Kurtz of the A's. He got all 30 first-place votes. A's shortstop Jacob Wilson finished second. The National League Rookie of the Year is Braves catcher Drake Baldwin. In the NBA, Miami won in overtime on an alley-oop dunk at the buzzer, 140-138 over Cleveland. Orlando won on a three-pointer at the buzzer against Portland.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We got Slade Bolden with us, former Alabama wide receiver. You guys, everybody knows Slade. Slade, we gotta decide this name, by the way, because these our folks in the chat, they're like, man, did y'all get this name? I'm like, at this point, let's just send it. We'll just hop on here and do one of them. There's some good ones. Somebody came up with another one I forgot to send you. It was like the Bold Edge. And then what was the other one?
I like that.
Yeah, I was like, it's kind of dope. I mean, the Bold Edge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of cool too. Anyway, but we'll definitely do that in a second.
Yeah, as long as we deliver what we're trying to say, well, just talking about. It doesn't matter what the name.
Hey, I was about to say it's my fault. I'm just like, man, I just want to make sure it's solid because I'm like, I know it's gonna be great, man. Everybody's doing it. Well, I'll text you though. Or I'll ask you real quick after we get done with this. So in terms of like, if you're free sometime this week, we can just run one.
Yeah. 100%.
We can just hop on here if you're free in the evening. What was I going to ask you? All right, so during the break, of course, you literally are right in between both those dates, 18 through 21. The first one I was talking about was 17. This one was in 22, but we don't even need to, it's fine. That makes perfect sense. So I think what you explained during the break, basically say what you're saying, he understands both things of it. I just was curious if you were in that meeting. I just was like, man, I wish I could be a fly on the wall and be like, how did y'all respond? Like, because I know he worded like, oh, Bryce is like, oh, you know what? We're all wearing green mouthpieces. I know sure as hell it wasn't worded like that. I could just only imagine, like, bam, this dude.
I
already know it was probably funny. But, and what was the other thing I was going to ask you? Have you had a chance to watch Oklahoma at all this year?
Yeah, just from, you know, casually watching it with some buddies, you know, I think. Depending on how healthy Materia is, I feel like they have a great defense. So I will say they got a great defensive line, which is kind of where we're worried. I would be worried considering how we've established O-line in the trenches this year and how we looked this last game. This is where it's so important that this week we really, truly find a better way to establish the run game. Because we look like we pass block well. Because there's a reason why Ty's had all the time to make the throws that he's made. You know, everybody has to work together. But I will say that's going to be a big question mark and concern going into this game is how we're going to establish the run game and that mentality in the trenches. So.
Yeah,
that's gonna be fun to watch.
Yeah,
hopefully fun to watch.
Yeah, I was about to say, for good or bad, we'll see. Yeah, battle of the trenches is gonna be huge, man. They like their front. I've been watching them, they've got some dudes, bro, inside out, outside in. I mean, they got guys that can rush off the edge. They've got some big, strong, physical guys in the middle, and then you pair all that with Brent Venables, who I've got experience with for sure. I mean, because he was at Clemson when I was. Here in college, playing them all those years, and he's a defensive guru, man. He's going to dial stuff up. He's going to bring pressure. And I thought that was one thing that, to me, and I knew LSU was going to do that. I mean, they didn't have like the most edge presence up front, and you know Baker, he's a good coordinator. He's dialing up pressure, and that's one thing, man, about our offense. Like you said, though, I want to give credit to our offensive line because I said weeks ago, right? We were going to need to continue to shore up our offensive line and keep Ty clean if we were going to want to have success. Because at this point, it's evident, right? Like to me, this is how I view it. Like, can we salvage our run game? We could probably salvage it. Is it going to be where we're rushing for 150 a game? Hell no. That's just not who we are. But can we try to find ways, like you mentioned earlier, really lean into what our guys do well and really try to just kind of get that going? Sure, and help it out a little bit. Which I think is important, like you mentioned too, taking all that pressure off Ty. I think part of the reason we're seeing a little bit of these dips in his performances, he's feeling like he's got to do so much. We don't have a running game to rely on. I mean, he's kind of, I think he's feeling kind of how Jalen Milroe started to feel at times because it's kind of on your shoulders. you have to make play.
For both. Milroe had to be the run game and the pass game.
Yeah.
At times.
And the offensive line wasn't performing as well as they are right now, at least in terms of pass pro. But I do want to give credit because they have been a lot better in picking up some of those pressures we talked about, which is not easy when you're bringing a lot of heat. And, you know, I think our backs need to be a little bit better, right? They've kind of regressed a little bit in their pass pro, yeah. But that will probably be something to pay attention to. Then on the other side, when I was watching Oklahoma Slave, I feel like they're capable of putting some points on the board, but they're not like they themselves don't run it great. Mateer yeah. hasn't been as as good as he was before
yeah.
the injury. But it will be interesting though. I will say, I mean, I think this game definitely will probably be a really interesting game. And I think if Oklahoma is going to have a chance in this game, it's going to be because of their defense. It's going to be because their defense yeah. is stalling our drives, forcing three and outs, really making it tough for us to get in the end zone. Maybe we're, you know, getting, like you said, those 3 points, but can we actually, you know, get in the end zone, put enough points on the board where their offense can't, because that's kind of what it's been recently, right? It's like,
yeah.
we're scoring just enough to kind of keep our distance, but we're not like running up the points. And you're going about to play another really good defense who's not, I think they're averaging like something crazy, like less than like 10 points allowed per game or something like that. I think, or no, 14. They're going to have 14 points a game. But I think they're like second in the conference in terms of like total defense, if not first. So, yeah, we got our hands full this week.
Yeah, maybe it's good you're going to chill at home. Great test.
Huh? Maybe it's good you're just going to take this weekend yeah, off. Maybe it's one of those games.
I might turn in a bow and go holler at them at halftime. No, they kick me out. But we'll see. I think it's going to be a great test. I think we this is a good time to figure things out for sure. And, you know, get some things figured out before we head into the SEC championship and playoffs. But, you know, I think we are playing at such a high level on offense at times that we will be able to get over, like, the lack of run game hump. But
yeah.
if we want to be good teams, because Oklahoma's kind of similar in a way to LSU, just a better offense. But like you said, I don't think their offense has been as efficient as we all kind of saw maybe at first. And then with Tier getting hurt, maybe that had something to do with it. But, yeah, Venables is going to dial it up on us. So we really have to just be so efficient and, you know, everything, as in ball security, fundamental blocking, finishing plays, playing with a type of mindset that is just going to tire out their defense, because we want to establish long and sustaining drives. And when you finish long sustaining drives, that's when you take a win. You start taking the win out of a good defense. Because yep. then it's like, well, this is not what we're used to. We can't do anything to stop them. But it's gonna be a big challenge, I think, for Grubb, the board, and the whole coaching staff on the offensive side. And but you know, as a player, they need to take some accountability. You know, they need to really hone in. You know, study extra film. How can I? What is this guy's technique when it comes to run fit? What is this guy doing off the edge when it comes to getting to the quarterback? How can I use my skill set to take advantage of what I'm seeing from them? Because you the more you do film, you study, you analyze, you figure out, okay, what's this guy's weakness? How's he been able to been leveraged before and moved before? But what's his strengths? You know, what I need to be aware of and not surprised by. So, you know, I think these guys need to regroup. Hey, we didn't play our best game. Let's get back to the fundamentals on how we need to play Alabama offensive ball, and maybe do some extra work in the film room. And, you know, I've seen guys get on the bags, you know, after practice, just, you know, the guys that were really good, you know, just working on the little things, right? The right steps, the right technique. And the more you rep it, the better you feel, the more confident you are. And then you just got to be tough. You got to have that mindset of good luck if you're in front of me.
Yeah, especially running the ball. I mean, we always say this, you know this. I mean, running the football is mentality, just like on defense. Mm-hmm. Stopping the run is a mentality. Like, I mean, it's 100%. A lot of mano-y-mano. Yeah, there's some, you know, combo blocks up front. Let me get that. But it's really about going face to face and who's going to be the more physical dominant man each snap when they do that. I mean,
correct.
And you know what I mean? So that's it's interesting because I'm like, we've had like a big physical, at least on paper, offensive line the past few years, but we've struggled to run the football for like since we've had these guys. So I'm like, maybe I need to ask one of our offensive line friends, like maybe they can pinpoint, like, you know what I'm saying? Because to me, I'm like, I know ball, but at some point I'm like, bro, how please explain how we got that type of person. Now that would be like on a defensive front, we have a front four of guys. They got defensive ends of like 275. You got, you know, a 320-pound nose tackle, and a D tackle is like 300 strong, built like an ox, and we can't stop the run for shit. It's our crap. Excuse my language. You know, like
You know what I'm saying?
Like that would just it makes no sense. The fact that it's making me use words like that on air. Sorry about that, Chase.
Hey, slow is not big, and slow don't work. Big and explosive is best. But
your teammate Evan Neal, I mean, he's doing splits and box jumps and stuff. I mean, but come on, man, like it's got to translate.
Then he got guys like Emil Ekior that I played with, who was, you know, kind of undersized guard, but just super quick, agile, athletic, and, you know, stayed low and could move people very well. You know, and I played some other guys too, but, you know, we had the big guys that were explosive as well and had great technique. So, you know, just because you're big, those guys get moved too if you're not in the right position and you're not explosive.
Not getting your head across, not getting your steps in the ground.
And you don't have the mindset either, too. So all those things play a factor. But, we're going to find out. Hey, I'm happy we hadn't got punched in the mouth truly yet. But obviously now we're at the point where we have to win out. But, I think it's going to be a great challenge for us. And, maybe it's even a closer game this week. I hope not. I hope they learn from this last game. But maybe we find out even more and you continue just you grow throughout the season, and then hopefully we just get not perfect but super hot and ready to roll by the time that it really means the most.
That's true, because that is coming up very quickly, man. Only 3 regular season games remaining. Slade, I appreciate you jumping on here, especially the last minute, man. Hey, do you want to plug your obviously social media stuff? Insurance wise, do they have to be in your area, or would that
anything on here? Hey, if you own a business and you're in the United States,
okay, that definitely applies.
Yeah, I work for Higginbotham. We're actually, if you ever look at the game, I don't know if they ever see it on TV. If you ever at the game, you can see our banner pull up on the screen, a little digital screen right behind the goalpost. So Higginbotham, we're like the SEC of brokerages because we're kind of throughout the Southeast. And yeah, I do employee benefits insurance, so I deal with healthcare, and healthcare is a pain. It's constantly rising, but luckily, you know, I'm able to help people and be an advocate in that world. And it kind of found a new passion with, I've always loved helping people. And, you know, I believe we're servants on this earth. That's one of the main reasons why we're here, to serve others. And fortunately, that's my job. I get to do that. But it is a challenge. But, you know, at the end of the day, I always say I'm going to take care of people. And if I don't know, by God, I'm doing everything I can to find out the solution to whatever problem there may be.
Yes, sir. Well, you guys heard it. You guys need some insurance, got a business or anything, man, hit Slate up. He'll definitely take care of. And I'm going to hit you up, I promise. We'll try to run some, either maybe tomorrow or Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Thursday, and try to, even if we just do it without the name for now, whatever we got to do, we'll make it work.
Yeah, you know, I'm easy. Whatever works best.
Yes, sir. Sounds like a plan. I appreciate you, bro. Be easy, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Simon. Appreciate you. Have a blessed day.
Yes,
roll
sir.
Tide.
You too. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. That was former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden. Appreciate him hopping on here, hanging out with us, and talking some football. And definitely catch more of that, I promise, coming up soon when we start getting this podcast rolling. We'll let it rip, guys. We'll let it rip. After this quick timeout, we'll keep on talking. 205-342-9904. I think we got like one call. We'll try to dive into that. We got a couple other things.
True South Generators. Online at TrueSouthGenerators.com. That's TrueSouthGenerators.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up this afternoon. The sky's sunny, the high 51. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, below 33. Tomorrow and Thursday, the sky's sunny both days. The warming trend continues. The high tomorrow is 65, the high Thursday, 71. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Big thanks to Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver, who just joined us. We chopped it up, talked about the Alabama-LSU game, previewed Alabama-Oklahoma a little bit, and we definitely plan on moving forward with our whole podcast thing. Even if we just hop on here and just chop it up, we definitely need to get that going, especially now that we got the tape, even though I'm trying to pull it up, and unfortunately, it's just... adding a little slow, which is all good, because today is just kind of a very early preview anyway. We're going to dive too deep into too much, but we're going to take a look at a couple things, which we kind of started to do with Slade when he joined us. Some quick little numbers and such in terms of Oklahoma, just about who they are. Brent Venables, head coach, I've got a lot of familiarity with him. He recruited me, right, coming out of high school. And I really got to know him more when played against him in, well, 3 out of 4 years, right? Played him in 2015, played him in 2016, played him in 2016. Oh, no, I played them every year. What am I talking about? I played them in the 2015 National Championship, 2016, 2018, and then I played them in the Sugar Bowl, right? So a lot of familiarity with Brent Venables, man. Chase, I'm just going to tell you, bro, he's a damn good football coach. I know everybody talks about the stealing signs and stuff or whatever the case may be. I heard Ryan Grubb kind of would seem like a joke. Not sure if it 100% was. Probably a little truth in there, maybe. But this is what I'll say about that whole deal. People always are going to be, like, trying to get intel on signs and stuff. Now, if you're talking about, like, going behind the scenes or, like, what Michigan had going on, no. But I'm saying, like, and I've talked about this on the show. You guys already have heard the story, but like as a defense, I mean, like it's very common. Like if we can pick up on cues, little, you know, verbiage or things, signs for what they do. Everybody does that. Like you honestly would be a bad football player slash coach if you didn't try to look for little advantages like that. Cause that's within the rules. There's no rules saying, hey, you can't sit there and watch Ty do these checks pre-snap and try to, you know, correlate what's happening with that and then say, okay, when he's doing, you know, this motion, right, or this signal to his receiver, they're running this concept. Nothing wrong with that. But in terms of just what he does, man, Brent Venables, he's a heck of a coach, man. And you talk about an aggressive defense, bringing, you know, having different pressure packages and throwing a lot at you, disguise and stuff. They do all those things really well. And that's part of the reason they're such a good unit. We talked about them nationally where they come in terms of scoring defense. They're seventh in the country, only giving up 14 points a game. So not too many points allowed for this unit. In terms of total defense, they also are atop the pack. They come in at seventh as well, averaging 264 yards allowed per game. In terms of the conference, they're pretty much 1 and 2 in a lot of areas. In terms of rushing defense, we're talking about trying to get our running game going. Well, not going to be an easy task this weekend. Oklahoma only is allowing on average 82 yards on the ground. In terms of total defense, they are number one in the conference with that 264 yards allowed. And in the conference, their scoring defense does, in fact, come in at number one as well. So this is probably going to be the toughest challenge that we've faced to this point, which, you know, we face the likes of Missouri, really good defense, South Carolina, even LSU, Georgia's solid. But I would say this challenge definitely is going to be a big one for our offense. And unfortunately, it's come at a time where our offense has now had two back-to-back games where we haven't looked our best. First one coming on the road to South Carolina, and then, you know, most recently against LSU. I'll say this, though. With how good Oklahoma is and how they look, one thing I will notice, they have shown, you know, to give up some explosive plays defensively. If you go and watch the tape, you'll see that there's times where they do give some plays up. So I'm not saying there's not going to be opportunities, but when you talk about a front that, you know, there's less room for error. I mean, you're talking about guys that are physical, you know, establishing that line of scrimmage. They're going to get pressure on the quarterback. They do all those things well. So, I mean, you just don't have as much room for error. But there will be some opportunities, I believe, for sure, pushing the football down the field, especially if we're able to continue to do a pretty solid job keeping Ty clean. As much as we talk about the offensive line and their struggles, you do have to give credit where it's due. And in terms of protecting them, they've continued to be pretty good doing that, right? There's been some, you know, ups and downs at times this year. There's been a couple games where it was a little hit or miss, but to be fair, as of recent, man, they've done a pretty nice job keeping the pocket clean, and that is including the fact that, you know, they're seeing a lot of different pressures, a lot of different looks. So they need to continue to do that, because that is one of the biggest things, especially when you become one-dimensional. If you're not going to be able to run the ball, you damn sure better be able to rely on your passing game, which we've been able to do for the most part. And if you ever meet our match where we're not firing on that, you know, that front, we probably are going to have some issues. In terms of some other numbers, I want to say passing defense is where they're a little bit more human, I guess, if you want to call it that. They are fourth, only giving up 181 yards through the air. So, Chase, just going to be honest with you, man. They've got some dudes. I watched, since this early, I haven't gone and watched a whole bunch of the all 22 tape on them. I've only gotten into like maybe one game so far, but I did watch them in that Ole Miss game and the Texas game. And I want to say there's one more. And I think Auburn was the other one I caught. And their front, man, golly, bro, they're just active, right? You know, they're disruptive. They're strong, physical guys. You know, they got good edge guys that can get after the quarterback. I mean, they do a lot of things well. I think they have solid linebacker play. I got to go back and watch some of their DBs a little bit more. I hadn't really paid a whole bunch of attention there. My eyes typically, like, man, everybody asks, like, how do you watch tape? I'm not going to lie. I'm naturally, since I'm an edge guy, I mean, I always glue up front first. So I need to go back and focus a little bit more on the back end, see how that matchup is going to look against our receivers. But nonetheless, they've got a good good defense for sure, and that's going to be a challenge. On the other side of the football, I do want to note, while I do think they're capable of doing enough, right? And the reason I say enough is because they're not overly impressive on the offense side of the football, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, going into the year, Mateer was looking like a Heisman favorite. He looked a lot better. He gets injured, and then things just kind of, they haven't been the same. Oklahoma, similar to us, they don't run the football great. It's kind of interesting. I mean, John Mateer, you know, he is involved with their rushing attack, but I'll say this, their running back position, they have a new running back that they're rolling with right now, or at least it has gotten more carries as of late. I think it's a younger guy, but I had to go back. I don't remember his name, but it's not the guy they initially were using early on in the year. So I think they've been trying to find ways to get stuff going themselves. Their offensive line hasn't been great as well. I mean, they're not, it's hard to explain, man. It's like they're capable, but they're not like some huge threat by any means. But I think they probably are good enough to maybe try to be a little bit more effective than we've seen out of, you know, LSU or South Carolina, or even Missouri. I guess that's the best way to put it. Like, they're a little bit more, I guess, they have a little bit more potential than those offenses, even though they're still by no means like some explosive offense that I'm, you know, so worried about. But there are some things that do, I wouldn't say concern me, but I will be paying attention to again, just even from like a standpoint of Mateer, right? They use him in the running game at times. We'll have to see, you know, how we respond to that. I think we've gotten better at defending quarterback design run, but clearly earlier on in the year that had been an issue. So stuff like that is something you should probably pay attention to in this matchup. Let's hit a timeout, Chase, to stay on schedule. I need to go back. I feel bad. I think we had a call like way back when we first started the show. So I don't know if Pat's still on the lines. If he is, we'll go to him. If not, I know we still have the coordinators from yesterday we need to catch up on and some other things. But before that, we got to hit a timeout. And we'll come back right after that, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
If you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
back into this Talking Tuesday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide under 0.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Doing a quick little preview again, not doing too much of a deep dive today. Tomorrow, Thursday, we'll have way more to dive into in regards to Oklahoma. But again, we kind of went over some of their base numbers. We already know they have a really good defense and offense. I would say probably about an average offense right now. I guess we didn't throw you the numbers offensively. We'll do that real quick while we got it pulled up before I forget. In terms of, and why did that just disappear? Passing offense, not looking too hot for Oklahoma. They're 11th in the conference, only averaging 236 yards through the air. And their rushing attack, I don't expect to be much better. I know it's 11 as well. I was about to say they hadn't really ran the ball great either. Mateer, I don't know where he ranks in terms of their total rushes, but I know he's rushed for about 300 yards himself. So they do include him in the running game. That's something to pay attention to in this matchup, right? He's kind of one of those sneaky athletes, not some Mike Burner by any means, but when they do get him in the running game, I mean, it's just an extra element, you know, to the run game that you have to defend, right? So that will be something to look out for. I mentioned the back that they're using now. I don't think it's the one that they are initially using earlier in the year. Again, I'm just going off of numbers in my head. I don't remember the names right now. But I do want to say one of their receivers, I believe, may be one of the top receivers. Yeah, is it Sategna? He's a good player for Oklahoma. He is fifth in the conference in receiving yards. That's going to be their go-to guy through the air. But again, are they explosive? Are they elite offensively? No, right? They've kind of dipped since the injury to Mateer, but I do feel like they're capable enough to at least give them a chance, right? If you go back and look at some of these games that they played, right? They go on the road. They beat Tennessee, right? 33-27. And we played Tennessee. We know. I mean, Tennessee's a good squad. Tennessee was able to put up 27 on that defense. That is a very good defense. You go back and look at it. I mean, the last two games they played, you're starting to see some vulnerabilities, right, for their defense. And I'm switching back and forth. But I'm talking about Oklahoma's defense. They gave up 27 to Tennessee, and then they gave up 34 to Ole Miss. So, and if you go back and look, and some of those were on some big explosive plays too. So I'll try to pull up those games as well. I probably could do it today if we have some time, but we'll dive into that. Probably I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll wait till we have some more time tomorrow. But what I'm getting at is recently they've been a little bit more, I guess, I don't know, susceptible defensively. So we'll dive into that here in a little bit. Chase, let's see. Do you mind seeing if Pat's still there? I feel bad, man. I know it's been about an hour, but I definitely want to check. Is Pat with us still?
Yes, I am.
Dang, there he is. I'm sorry, Pat. Man, we had Slade jump on, and it kind of got a little...
No, man. Hey, Slade was great. Slade was great, man. I love listening to Slade. That he was... I called him kind of Mr. Reliable whenever he was playing for us, and he was kind of like a Swiss Army knife. You could ask him to do a whole lot of stuff, return punts if necessary. He'd... play in the slot. He'd do all kinds of things there. Maybe play a little wildcat quarterback, I think, one time. But Slade was special. And I appreciate you having him on board. But I want to see what you think about with his defense. Y'all been talking about it kind of ad nauseum. But how do you compare it to the Georgia defense? When we played Georgia the first half, it looked as if Ty knew what Georgia was going to do before they did it. And then they got a little bit, I got to hand it to Kirby, being a great defensive coach, said he is. He did make some halftime adjustments and things. But it would have been nice to have had a week off before we played Oklahoma, to me, and in order to prepare for this group out of their deck. Because, like I said, Venerable's defense, hey, the only reason besides being hard-headed, the major reason that Dabo's not playing for championships is Venerable not being his defensive coordinator. What do you think?
Well, in terms of, I mean, the reason we're talking about the Menazim is because, I mean, that's going to be the story of this game. You can mark that here.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
If Oklahoma's defense plays how I expect them to play, I think that's what's going to keep this this game close or actually give them a chance. I think offensively, that's what I was saying. I mean, the way our defense has been playing, I think we're doing a nice job right now. I mean, I'm not saying Oklahoma's not going to be able to put up points. I'm sure they will, you know, put up some. But defensively, I think Oklahoma's going into this game knowing that's probably their hope and savior for this football game. But in terms of how they compare to Georgia, well, they're a lot better, right? I mean, Georgia's defensive front hadn't been what they had been in the past. And Oklahoma's front looks a lot more like what we used to see out of Georgia. Oklahoma can get after the quarterback. Not only do they stop the run, but they get after the quarterback. They've got 33 sacks on the year. They're averaging almost 4 sacks a game. And I already mentioned their ability to stop the run. So that's the biggest difference for me. I mean, both have, you know, great coaches, defensive guys, right? But I just look at Oklahoma's defense, and I just feel like they're a lot more sound than Georgia was this year. But you're right, Ty handled that game well. He handled, you know, Missouri pretty decent against a very good defense as well. South Carolina, we saw those struggles. But pre-snap, man, Ty is as good as anybody. He does a phenomenal job getting us in, you know, the right looks and doing everything he can pre-snap to give us a chance to have success post-snap. He just got to get some help from the guys around him. I truly believe he just has a lot of pressure on him right now because we don't have a running game, right? We're having to fully rely on trying to get the ball, push the football downfield or, you know, these end arounds, you know, jet sweep, screen game, stuff like that. When if we had a true traditional running game, it takes so much pressure off of him and opens things up more. So if we can do that, which this game is not going to be easy to do. I think it only makes his job easier.
I know it's not our thing, but would a two-back set not protect Ty a whole lot more and keep him upright? Because we have prolific receivers. I don't care how good their defensive backfield is. We got prolific receivers that should be able to get over, and especially that 6'4" number one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this. I mean, the two-back sets, if you're talking about in pass pro, believe it or not, I mean, the pass pro has actually been pretty good for Alabama. That's actually one of the things, ironically, Alabama's doing a little bit better of, especially as of recent. You know, we're keeping Ty clean. I want to say, like, out of 37 dropbacks or whatever it was, I think he had a clean pocket on almost 30 of them, I think was a number somebody had tweeted. And that's including all the pressure that we face. So I think, you know, six-man protections, whether that's a single back in there, keeping tight end, even going seven-man protection with one back, one tight end, like, those things definitely help. But, I mean, you're smart. You know numbers. I mean, the more guys you keep in for protection, you have less guys, you know, going out for passes. And I think that was one thing, if you look at it, you know, LSU, when you have good cover guys that can play man, when they bring more guys and you're forced to go to, like, a seven-man protection, you have less guys running routes. And if they have guys that are good enough to strap you up for just a few seconds, it makes it tough, even when they do have less numbers in coverage, right? So it all comes down to a numbers game and just trying to figure out what your guys do well. I mean, what you're expecting that week. And I think it's going to be an interesting challenge for Ryan Grubb because, I mean, I know, like somebody in the chat said, it sounds like a broken record. Everybody's saying Alabama has to get the running game going. But, I mean, it's true. It's a fact. I mean, I'm not saying like you can't. We've seen Alabama has found ways to overcome the insufficiency there. I'm not saying it's impossible, but what I'm saying is you're seeing, and the reason the same guy asked the question is why did we take a step? It seems like we took a step back. Well, because you're starting to see that when you are one-dimensional, just like I said at the beginning of the year, teams start to figure things out and teams can really load up and bring the house. Just like if you can't throw the football, what do teams do? They stack the box. And then it makes running the ball even harder, which that's what you're supposed to do well. It works the opposite even in our situation, right? If they're not so worried about us running the football, they're able to put in these packages. They're able to bring different pressures. They're able to force the issue and make it even tougher to throw the ball. And that's why your offense really starts to sputter. So, yeah, it's just it's going to be interesting, but you just have to figure it out. Ryan Grubb has found ways, Pat. Using Jeremy Bernard, lining him up in the backfield, jet sweep, right? You know, misdirection stuff. But, I wouldn't be shocked if we see that again this week, just because I mean, this week is not the week to just go, oh man, I think our running game is going to magically just kick off. Their front, their defense, they're not really going for that.
Yeah. I just believe that if Daniel Hill could touch the ball 10 to 15 times, that they would get tired of hitting his big old butt.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's what I was saying too, Pat. I agree that, you know, think back to 2015 when Derrick Henry won the Heisman. Lane used to give Derrick the ball like 30 times a game, right, which is insane to think about.
And then the fourth quarter, he got stronger and stronger.
He got stronger and stronger, and the defense got weaker and weaker and had more fatigue. And not only that, Daniel Hill's not as tall as Derrick. He definitely is as heavy, but Derrick was 6'3", 245. Daniel Hill's like 6'1", 245. But look, if I'm Brian Grubb and I'm trying to like say, all right, let's see what we can – I would probably just put Daniel Hill in there. We saw glimpses of this against LSU. Run him downhill, whether it's duo, inside zone, whatever. Let him just hit a crease, press the hole, and he'll probably fall forward for 2-3 yards at least. And like you said, you're also wearing down a defense, man. Those safeties that are having to come down in the box and off for run support, they don't want to hit a 245-pound running back over and over. They got to make a decision at some point. I mean, they're going to be trying to chop him down, but best believe that does not feel great for those guys.
Yeah. Alrighty. Hey, you have a blessed day. Appreciate you taking my call. Have a great one.
Always. Sorry for the long wait, Pat. I appreciate you being patient, man. Good deal. All right, let's do this, Chase. Let's hit a timeout real quick. We're on schedule. We come back. We got player interviews from today. Maybe we'll pick one guy, see if we can squeeze him in and wrap up this Talking Tuesday. If we don't have anybody else, unless somebody else wants to jump on the phone lines or has something they want to do. In the last few minutes right here on this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
And great drink specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
game. The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up this afternoon. The sky's sunny, the high 51. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, the low 33. Tomorrow and Thursday, the sky's sunny both days. The warming trend continues. The high tomorrow is 65, the high Thursday 71. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 50 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Hey, real quick, Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge is back again this weekend. Another home game, right? So Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge. You guys have the opportunity to win free cash from the Good Feet Store. All you have to do is go to goodfeetkickforcash.com. You can sign up right there on the website, completely free. Your name and email. That's it. If you get selected, you get an opportunity to go kick some field goals. If you make them, you win free cash, $1,000, $2,000. If you make the whole thing, I think it's up to 30 yards. If not, you still walk away with the free prize. So do that right now if you haven't. And if you're interested in those art supports that they do offer, designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, do that right now as well. Goodfeet.com. You can do that on your computer, laptop, whatever the case may be. Or you can always visit the nearest location to you, which you can find on the website. Or if you're in Tuscaloosa, that is in Midtown Village. Walk-ins are welcome. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Give them a shout. That is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Let's see. I don't know if we'll have, yeah, we're not going to have time to hit any of these player interviews. So we'll try to push to tomorrow. Let's see if we got some chats that we can hit real quick. Chase, do we have any app messages? I know it's very rare we get to do that, but is there any app messages by chance? Do you already have that pulled up? If not, I can look on the chat here.
Let me check real fast.
Okay. Let me see what we have here. Superfly, I know it's Veterans Day. I think maybe you're still active. Regardless, I need to say this via radio. I said it during the break for our stream, but it is Veterans Day. I want to give a big shout out and thank you to all our veterans. Growing up in Columbia, South Carolina, grew up right outside of Fort Jackson, which if you guys are Army, I'm sure you're very familiar with that. Or if you've seen Alabama basketball, I think they've spent time at Fort Jackson in the offseason doing some cool stuff. But as everybody does or should, I have a great respect for the military and all our servicemen and women and what they do, keeping our country safe, going out there and risking so much, whether you're deployed here, whatever, it takes a team effort. I know sometimes people get caught up in that whole thing. That doesn't matter. You put on that uniform, man, you're signing up to protect this country and our nation, allowing us to do things that we love here, just like this show, sitting here and talking sports, right? So just want to say thank you to all our veterans on Veterans Day. I have a whole bunch of family, friends, right? Growing up in Columbia outside of Fort Jackson, it's either you go to college or you pretty much join the military. So, I mean, I feel like probably 75% of my friends probably served or served. So I just wanted to say that before we got out of here, by the way. And again, I said it during the break, but I forgot our radio listeners didn't hear. I know we have a lot of folks that listen to the show that are veterans, have family in the services. So I definitely wanted to say that. Hope you guys have an amazing day. Hope you guys have an amazing day every day, but especially on this day. I want to honor you guys and everybody that has served and even the ones that do serve right now. Real quick, I lost my train of thought. Superfly, thank you. I was going to read your question. I got reminded by your profile picture. Thank you, brother. I haven't wanted to admit it, but I don't know if we're going to get anything going on the ground like Vandy was almost a fluke or something. You know, and that's what's interesting, bro. Because we watched that tape. I pulled it up on here on the stream. We looked really good. And I can even, I'll pull that up another time. But I'll show you guys. I mean, the execution, I pulled it up and showed that, right? We got great initial push, right? You know, when we were climbing on those combo blocks, getting to the second level. We were doing all the little details, right? Jam, listen, if you go back and watch, there was no reason for Jam to even be patient because the holes were declaring themselves. He could hit the hole, burst through, and he was picking up, you know, he had several big explosive runs in that game. But we have not seen that really since, if we're being honest. And it's just interesting to me. And Vandy had a good front. It's not like Vandy's front was a pushover. They going into that game, they were one of the better run defenses in the conference. So I am a firm believer if you've done it once, you can do it again. Even if you've never done it before, you always have an opportunity. But more so, if you've done it once, you clearly have shown yourself and everybody you can do it. We just have to find a way to get back to that. And I don't know. We'll have to see what they come up with. But this week, it's going to be a little bit interesting given that, you know, you got a great challenge in front of you. But we'll see if they can do that. I'm just telling you guys right now, I mean, the way our defense is playing, it's like our offensive defense is almost kind of swamped a little bit. Defense is really kind of, I'm not saying holding it together, but let's just be honest. Like, if it wasn't for defense, we could have maybe had some different results or at least some much closer games. So we need our offense to get back to doing what they were doing prior. And I think we'll be all right, but still got some time. We've got 3 regular season games left. Not necessarily saying it's time to panic over anything, but I do feel like it's definitely a very justified reason to have some concern if you are an Alabama fan, just knowing that once you get into the nitty-gritty, man, there's no second chances in the postseason, right? And you just don't want this to happen, and I hope it doesn't, but that to be something to come back at some point, right? Because it hadn't bit us yet, but it seems like it's inching closer and closer, and if you don't get it cleaned up now, it definitely could be a concern coming up. All right, Chase, I don't think we had any. Did we have any by chance or no?
No, we did not.
All right, good deal. I just want to make sure, hey, people can't say we didn't try. We checked the ad messages. There wasn't any there, so we're clear there. That being said, we're closing out this Talking Tuesday. here on the Miller's Edge. Appreciate everybody. Chase behind the glass, all our listeners via Tide 100.9. Also via the streams, YouTube and Facebook. Always appreciate you guys. And also remember, at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, if you guys prefer to watch the show, you always can do that as well. Or stick with radio on the app or on the dial. We appreciate all our listeners. Also, don't forget R&R Cigars is doing that food drive. Drop off any donations and you are eligible for 50% off of a cigar from R&R Cigars. They're trying to feed 5,000 families. Talk about how cold it is. Well, don't forget, there's a lot of people that might be struggling right now, especially holiday season, to have foods on their plate. And that's exactly what R&R is trying to tackle. So if you have some extra stuff you can donate, especially canned goods, stuff like that, non-perishable items of that nature, drop them off to R&R Cigars. You get 50% off of one cigar. Even if you don't need that, just think about those folks and those families that they're trying to feed. If you have anything, make sure you guys check them out. 2703 Gary Fitz Street is the location. But also remember, if you need a place to go watch games, get a nice steak, best humidor in the Southeast, 160 bourbons, they are the place to be. Go check them out. Again, that is R&R Cigars, official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. We got to get out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.